Each episode of the Lion Goat podcast is completely improvised. Expect comedy. Do not expect consistency or sense to be made. This is random nonsense for your amusement. I am Podbot. I make the bebops go beep boop. Warning. The following podcast contains explicit material intended for emotionally immature adults. Trigger warnings for this episode include discussion about adult themes, violence, profanity, murder, sexually explicit behavior, political incorrectness, animal, emotional, mental, physical, sexual, and substance abuse. Listen to this. It might rot your brain. I warned you. On today's episode, join our Australian co-hosts as they have a lovely intermission and an irradiating discussion over Red Cap Hale, Dorothy Gray Salon Cold Cream, and Gaines Dog Biscuits. You won't want to miss the finale. Intentional effects have been added to today's recording. If you want to experience this podcast as intended, listen while wearing stereo headphones.
All right, now I'm recording, and you're recording.
I never stop, sir. That's what I'm trying to figure out, what you're doing with all these MacGyver pieces.
Welcome back to the Aussie Boys, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming to the show.
Never went anywhere. What? They've always been here, sir.
No, mate, I'm pretending here. We're going to do the intro, and then we'll move this around. We'll get
great.
You know, I'm still doing the editing, so I'll just edit this up. I'll move this back to the beginning. So we'll just pretend we're going to do the beginning like none of this ever happened. The audience will be none the wiser.
Like a whole show never happened up until now.
No, mate, I'll cut all the bits that you did while I was trying to get my technical difficulties under control. I'll do that stuff. I'll leave the good parts in. You know, I don't know how much was good, but I'm sure there was lots of good stuff because you always do such a fine job, Russ. And I'm so glad to have such a good bludger who's kind enough to let me deal with my technical difficulties. So here's the solution, mate. When we play the commercials, I'm going to have to swap the audio signal over to something that you can hear. You understand what I'm saying? Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Okay, right. 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aussie Boys. I'm Austin, your host, and here's your co-host, Russ.
You know, Austin, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're feeling well. I was just thinking, sir, maybe, I don't know, lost my thought. Shit, I fucked it up, sir.
Well, that's true.
It's all right, though.
Let's try this again. I'm going to do a little intro. It's going to be hard to get myself back in order because it's been an hour now, and I've kind of lost my patience, and I'm tired, and I haven't eaten any supper, and I'm feeling like an asshole. So let's see how this goes.
It's a horrible intro to the episode, so it's the worst one yet.
No, this is going to be the greatest episode there ever was. Here we go.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aussie Boys. I'm Austin, your host, and here's your co-host, Russ.
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you took that school of MacGyvering to get this episode underway.
Stop, mate.
I don't know what you did with the paper clip and the bubble gum on that rubber band.
Now, mate, remember, the audience doesn't know that any of that happened, okay? So now we've got to start over again.
But they will when they listen to the episode. They'll catch up with
us. You know, we've done this bit over and over again where we have the technical difficulties at the start and the ending. We just thought we'd have a whole episode, folks, of a non-stop just fucking up. I've got to stop. Those are words Austin doesn't use on the Lion Goat podcast. I'm very sorry, Mr. Anonymous. Okay, here we go. We're going to do our family show. We're back into it. We're friendly. We're nice. We're feeling good. You know what it is, mate. It's the fact that I'm not playing the intro music. Let me get the intro music. That's what I need.
So I was waiting on you to play the intro music the whole time. There was some slipping around of things we had to do to get it right.
Remember, the audience doesn't know that any of that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. I'm going to play the intro music again, and then I'm going to do the intro, and we're going to go into it, and none of that stuff happened, right? Do I have your commitment and your agreements?
I don't know what you're talking about. What happened? Have I missed something?
No,
I've
mate.
Been here the whole time, Austin. I don't think I missed a thing.
Here we go. Here's the intro music.
Intro music ready.
Wait, that's not the right music. Here it is. Now that's not the right music either. Oh, where's the music at now? Damn it.
Now, audience, I have a question for you. Should I tell my mate Austin here that I can't hear any of the music he's playing for the last hour and a half? We have wasted this entire episode.
I've explained that to you, mate. I've explained it multiple times. You're not going to hear the music. You just got to pretend the music is there, all right? And then I'm going to hear the music, and I'll get the jazz, and then I'll do the intro like I normally do with the jazz. But I can't do it without the music. I just don't know how.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hey, please join us here in the Aussie Boys while Austin gets the jazz. I'm ready for you to catch the jazz, mate. I got jazz hands waving here, sir. I'm glad you're motivated to be here after all this. I mean, before all this technological difficulties that we had.
No, mate. Remember, we're not telling them about...
Or we'll have in the future.
You can't tell them about the technical difficulties, mate. We're pretending like none of that happened because we've never had it. I mean, we did have the one episode where we had a decent beginning, but that was a long time ago. That was like... 3 episodes ago now. Oh, mate, now I can't even find the music.
He can't find the jazz. Oh, no, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I really enjoy our intro music, Austin. It always puts me in a good mood, you know? I think the audience likes it, too. When they hear our jingle, they know they're going to have a laugh or two. It doesn't matter what happens on the episode. They're just psyched to be here with us, you know? I feel positive about that.
All right, there's definitely something going on here. Hang on, folks. We may have to take a brief intermission. Oh, we did promise them an intermission last time, so this could be the intermission for them now.
How are we going to give them an intermission? They can't hear anything you're playing.
Well, they'll be able to hear it. It's not a problem with the audience, mate. It's a problem with you.
Problem with me. I feel like it's a problem with you,
no,
sir.
No, I'm not saying it's a problem with you, as in like...
Because you're coming in loud and clear over here. You're the sounds
no,
are
no,
not...
No. You're not understanding. Put a sock in it for a second.
Wait a minute, mate. I don't want a sock in it.
No. Shut your gob for just a second. I'm not saying that it's a problem with you. I'm saying it's a problem with the audio getting to you.
Well, your audio's working fine. I hear you. I see you. You're going up and down on my meter.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
Let's play that intro.
Ironically, it's built into the episode, but if I stop the recording again, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop the recording again. I'll be right back.
Beautiful.
Hit stop on your side.
I don't believe that's your idea, sir.
All right, you can keep going, but I'm going to hit stop.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Aussie Boys podcast and your favorite hosts, Russ and Austin. Today's episode is the shortest episode ever made because there are no commercials to be played. We've played them all, we've heard all the sounds, we've talked about all the products from the past, the future, and the present. So, we'll see you next time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Russ. I'd like to welcome you to the Aussie Boys podcast. The first one, apparently solo without Austin. And it's just me and me dingo. And you can hear him yapping away in the background. He'd like to thank you for being here himself. But he's got something to chase out there on the ranch. He's going to get it hunted down. He's going to find whatever it is. You know, and I'm sure... Eventually, we'll sort out these technical difficulties. And Austin, he's probably going to try to blame me for this kerfuffle, if you will. But, you know, nothing in my recording studio here has changed since the last time that he and I were on the air together. Nothing. Because unlike Austin, Russ does not fidget with the settings. You know, when I find something that works, I like to leave it alone. Why? Because it works, mate. Austin, on the other hand, he's always tinkering, you know? He thinks he can make it better. Every little thing, every time he tinkers with something, it's a week and a half setback. Be honest, I love the man, but he drives me mental. I'll tell you what. He's left me alone to carry the whole show again, as usual. But in the meantime, I'm going to have myself a tasty little treat here. This right here, it's a Dark Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Thins. They're tiny, they're delicious, made of dark chocolate and peanut butter, because everybody loves them. I like these. You know what they say? It's better for you than milk chocolate. At least that's what science says. The dingoes and Marvin himself loves them. I don't know if kangaroos can have chocolate. He swears they can, but he could be lying. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of The Aussie Boys, so you can listen to me sip Fosters and eat chocolate candies alone, because Austin has abandoned us. Sorry, folks. I don't know why he doesn't like us anymore. I don't recall pissing him off in any way. I don't know. What did you guys do to make Austin mad and want to leave? He's a good friend of mine. I got to have his back on this one. Hurting Austin's feelings like that, making him abandon us. Horrible audience. And I mean that. Where are you going to get your taste of the Australian outback without me and Austin? Where are the guys bringing you the flavour? Well, I guess we're just sitting awkward silence until we're ready, I guess. I don't ever think silence is that comfortable. If you get comfortable with silence, you're probably a beast. A beast of a man is comfortable with silence. It's a real man's comfortable with silence. All right, there he is. Austin has come back to us. All right, folks, how you doing? Oh, you broke it again. I can't hear a word you're saying, mate. Oh, your infernal tinkering. You're not even coming through on me side. I can see you, and you don't need to be writing things on the paper and putting them in front of the camera. It takes a minute for them to focus, and your handwriting is chicken shit, so I can't read a thing on that paper. Don't give me that finger. It's rude. You know, Austin, I've been thinking here, in the time that I've been here by myself, waiting on you to fix your things you keep tinkering with and breaking, maybe the audience doesn't like us anymore. You know, maybe the audience didn't want to see us bicker. Nobody cares about what I've got to say. They really care about the commercials, you know, and we don't have any commercials. And the audio's not working. Whatever you've done with your infernal tinkering, and you set us back hours, mate. I've got to shave again. It's horrible. I don't know what you're doing over there. Oh, don't give me that finger again, sir. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It was the wrong finger. That was the wait a minute finger. Not to go f*** yourself finger. I apologize, audience. Whoa! Don't you be giving me that one, mate. That's not nice at all. We've got all the greatest technology in the world right here at our disposal in this studios. I mean, I'm a little behind the times, but you're tip top of the line, sir. I see all your gadgets going up and down and shining. And you, look at that knob. Look how smoothly that knob turns. It's beautiful, mate. It's the worst episode ever. We're going to lose listeners. They may defund us, demonetize us. How do you feel about that, Austin? Well, you're right. They would probably have to monetize us first before they demonetize us. But, you know, it's going to happen. What is going on over there? We're never going to have a world-famous podcast show like this. I don't even think Austin can hear me now, because I just said a whole lot of bad things about his mother, and I've got no reaction out of him whatsoever. I'm proud of him. I'm proud to have him working on our show, The Aussie Boys Podcast. Today's episode entitled The Sound of Silence. Anyway, I was reading these articles about these music pieces that are allegedly cursed, right? Apparently, a lot of composers often died after the ninth sonata. Why do you think that is? Just randomly up and down. Happened to Beethoven, they say, when he's working on his tenth. Dropped dead in the middle of it. I don't know how far he got, if it was in the middle, actually. But you know, while he was working on it. I mean, Beethoven was his chinket. You know, he's deaf and all. Made beautiful music for a deaf man, I believe. But they say he sawed the legs off his piano so he could feel the vibrations. I don't know if that's true or not. I didn't know Beethoven personally, and I don't think I know anybody who actually knew Beethoven. Beethoven may be a myth. But anyway, this particular piece I'm going to tell you about is called Piano Sonata No. 6 by an Alexander Scribian. I probably am not saying it correctly. It says that this piece scared the man. He would not play it publicly, and whenever he did play it privately, he was overcome by fear, often before he even finished it. The dingoes apparently don't agree with this. I'd love to have a host that would speak with me, talk to me. He's not even listening to me jokes, not even giving me any feedback on these articles I'm trying to share with you. Allow me, ladies and gentlemen, to thank Austin for making a train wreck of today's episode. This is upsetting the dingoes fiercely, mate. I think they're upset with you, sir, for cracking up the whole show, crashing it to the ground. This particular episode, The Sound of Silence, has hit the ground like a lead balloon, sir. It's in flames, Hiroshima over here. It's awful. The bodies are everywhere. There's fire, massive screaming. Austin has everything working on his end of the world. I'm glad he was here. I appreciate his presence. I really do. I love the man, right? As the crow flies in a straight line, it'll probably take you 7 or 8 hours to get there if you travel by, I mean, Mouse. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Austin is apparently back, saying that we can't properly do a show without the commercials. But, you know, he's blaming Windows. Why are you blaming Windows? Windows rules the world. Is that Vista? XP? I mean, I remember the 95, right? Because I was there on the front end of the whole shebang when it was just the logo of the window with a little floaty tail behind it. Maybe it's time to trash that paperweight you call a computer and get yourself something better. I don't know why you're not rolling in the dough, sir. The show is gangbusters, climbing the charts. Everybody loves the Aussie boys. We're pulling in loads of cash, hand over fist. Well, that's your problem. You never had a roof, I mean, it's really not that lucrative. I mean, pretty expensive upkeep, mate. You know, they eat a lot of stuff. These are special roofs, apparently, and they need to wear slippers and silk robes. I don't know why, but that's what Marvin is telling me they want. They've signed a petition. There's lots of little paw prints. So I'm assuming that they're all roo paw prints, except for that one that looks suspiciously a lot like a raccoon paw print. And I don't know why a raccoon needs silk pajamas, but I keep them classy over here, mate. He doesn't talk, but he gives me the finger a lot. He doesn't carry a large rocket launcher. I mean, I guess it's a normal-sized rocket launcher. He's not a polite raccoon, but Marvin says he's building gadgets. No, I'll put that away with that last Sheila debacle. I can't have that no more. I mean, I barely escaped the charges. Ladies and gentlemen, please send all donations to Austin, care of Aussie Boys Podcast, and we're going to help you. We're going to put a fundraiser, a little GoFundMe, to get you a new computer so you cannot have these technical difficulties in the future. A livelihood depends on it, mate. Has there been any progress? Can we at least play one commercial for our listening audience before we chunk this particular episode straight in the rubbish bin and go our separate ways? I had my usual amount, tip-top shape right now, mate. Not pissed at all. Is that a piece of bubblegum you're putting on there? How is bubblegum gonna solve our... What are you, MacGyver? Is that a paper clip? A rubber band?
Perhaps you could tell us how you've been, Ross.
I did tell you how it was. I told you all about Marvin. In fact, I'm carrying the show again, mate. You're letting the audience down, sir. I mean, every day my back hurts from carrying all your weight, sir.
Are you hearing it now?
You're the one that needs the jazz. It's a good thing I've been recording the whole time.
But remember, I'm not going to tell the audience anything about this.
Okay, they'll never notice.
Now we will take a break for some advertisements. Please support our sponsors. Just imagine this could be your advertisement. Please reach us at liongoatpodcast@gmail.com to provide sponsorship. And now, back to the show.
We were going to have the most perfect beginning of all, mate. I had it all set up, everything was recording, my video was working and everything, and then there was a slight delay when we were getting into the podcast.
Right, I'm sorry for the delay, mate. I was busy cooking dinner. You know, I had to get me feeds on, get some foods in me tummies, you know. There was a rumbly there. I had to feel the void, as it were. And it took a little longer. Soup takes a while to cook. I made myself a fabulous chicken noodle soup. It was delicious. I put some of those little crackers in it, you know, for a little added crunch while munching. So, you know, it was very lovely.
Well, that sounds nice. Glad to hear you had some soups. I'm just struggling here to think and talk at the same time. Perhaps you could help me out with that.
I can't really tell you how to think and talk at the same time, Austin. I have a bit of trouble with that with myself. A lot of times I just let my tongue wag, you know. I don't really put much thoughts into it.
Understood. I understand that.
I like to be as surprised as everybody else at what comes out of my mouth, you know. Well, in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to welcome you once again to the Aussie Boys podcast. I am Russ, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Austin, who is having technical difficulties with his computer engines, and there seems to be something scratching around. Can you hear that?
The scratching, yes.
Yeah. All right. Today's episode is about scratching noises.
Scratching noises are our favourite noises. We like the scratching noises.
We try to put them in every episode. We really do.
What's producing those scratching noises? Is that Marvin?
Oh, barracudas, quite possibly.
Oh, right.
No.
Marvin has been recruiting some new animals for his crime-fighting escapades. There's a raccoon. That could have been him. I don't know the raccoon's name yet.
It's a raccoon, mate.
Yeah.
All the way here from America. Did someone bring it over on a ship, mate?
Yeah, I don't know how he got here. Well, Marvin's been away for about a week and a half.
Well, he was in the rocket room a bit last time. Did he come back?
No, he did come back. He did.
Okay, was he safe? He didn't appear to be wearing a helmet.
He was safe. There was some saltwater rust on the rocket room mobile, and he showed up with a raccoon and an ostrich. I don't know where he got either one of those from.
Well, the ostrich makes sense, mate, but the raccoon, it's not an animal that's indigenous to Australia. Perhaps it was someone's pet, and he's stolen it.
I don't think...
Does the rocket room mobile go intercoastal? Can it go over the ocean?
I believe it can now. He's made some upgrades. He's a pretty clever roo, you know.
He's made upgrades. Mate... Your room never stops to astound me.
Oh, no.
He's always doing these things that roos can't do. It's like he's a super roo.
He's got a crime-fighting school out in the back east corner of the farm. And he's got a shop out there. I think he's got even a cave. He calls it the Roo Cave. And I didn't know that roos liked caves. But apparently he does.
Well, perhaps it reminds him of his childhood when he was a wee Joey in his mother's pouch.
It's possible. You never know what's going on in the mind of that kangaroo, I'll tell you what.
Climbs in the cave and pretends he's in the pouch and looks for a teat to suckle on or something like that, you think?
There's some huge computer back there, too, that I'm not allowed to touch, he says.
Oh, he's got a computer?
I know. Says it's the Roo computer and I'm not allowed to touch it because I'm not a Roo. He's getting really demanding a lot lately. I don't really know what to do with him. But I guess crime is down in our region, and it's probably partly due to him.
Has he got, like, a supercomputer in there like the Batcave? Is there an Albert in there?
Yeah.
Perhaps that's what the raccoon is doing. Is the raccoon doing computer surveillance while he's out in a rocket roomobile?
It could be. I don't really know about what all's going on in there in the team now. He's building a little team with the raccoon and the ostrich, and I don't really know what's going on. Who does what for the team? I'm uncertain. I'm not allowed to know these things because I am a blabbermouth and I'll run my mouth on the show here and ruin everything for them. And I don't really want to do that. You know, like I said, crime is down and the mayor has given him the key to the city. It's very nice. It's a nice ceremony. I don't know if you saw it in the papers or
not. No, I didn't even know there was a mayor around there. I thought you were so far out in the outback that the mayor didn't have much to say to you.
Well, everywhere has a mayor. Then it wasn't really about me. It was about Marvin and his crime-fighting techniques, keeping the crime down in the city, keeping all of us citizens safe.
Oh, I see.
I'm quite proud of him, you know. He's a treasure, really. National treasure, if I might say that myself.
But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security.
Well, he sounds like a treasure.
People don't talk that way anymore.
Of course, he's a personal treasure of mine because he rescued me from that whale.
I think that was the inspiration for the crime fighting, really. Crime fighting and rescuing people. He does a lot. You're not even the only person he's rescued from the bottom of a whale.
You don't say.
I do say.
Who else has he rescued?
Oh, there was some little girl named Rebecca, I think, fell down a well. A couple of weeks ago.
No kidding.
She's out now. Baby Rebecca, you recall.
She fell down a well like I did. Was it because she didn't have a retaining wall around the roof of the well?
I think she's just a clumsy little child. somewhere she shouldn't have been.
You're not trying to compare me to some clumsy child saying that I'm clumsy, are you, mate? I mean, I was being well within my safety.
No, I'm not. I know I'm not. No, no. Your well was haphazardly constructed, sir, and there's a reason you fell down that well. It was shipshoddily made, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no offense to your well-making skills. You probably didn't even make the well. It was there when you bought the shack.
No. We didn't originally dig the well, but now there's a nice wall around it, and it's very safe and secure.
I know. I've seen it. It's lovely. It's got a nice bucket. You don't have to fall down there no more to get your water.
Well, that was never part of the plan, mate. I just happened to be walking by it, and my foot slipped in there. But the listeners have heard all about that story. We shouldn't go on and on about the well. I'm sorry I brought it up again.
You should be, sir. It's old news. It's old hat.
It is.
And everybody I've talked to is amazed that you survived the tumble, really. And you didn't catch pneumonia and die, or hypothermia and die. And everybody's grateful for that. And I'm grateful that you survived so we could continue to make our podcast and bring joy to the denizens of the world, you know.
Well, that's fair, Dinkum. I agree. So tell me though, mate, aside from Marvin doing his crime fighting, how's things been for Russ? Has your Sheila traps been working? Or is there any other news?
Oh, I gave up on the Sheila traps, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, I'll find the right Sheila in the right time. I'm not worried about that. Right now, I'm focusing on the Roo Ranch, keeping her up and going in tip-top shape. I've doubled me roos now. What, I had 37 last time I think we talked. I got 45.
Well, I don't mean to insult you, edumacation there, sir, but I do believe that 45 is not twice as many as 37.
Well, you know, it's increasing.
I'm not exactly sure what that number is, but I think it might be closer to 60 or 70.
It's like 32%, sir. It's all right.
Have you got 60 or 70 now?
Well, maybe I should tag them. So I can get an accurate count here. It's my first ranch, so.
It is time to take a break for some advertisements.
Oh, no. It's already time for a commercial. I haven't got my sound fixed.
Already?
Oh, mate.
Oh, oh my.
Are you hearing that? Did you hear the pod bot?
I'm not hearing nothing, sir.
Again, don't pretend. I'll edit this bit out. We don't have to let the audience know that we're having technical difficulties. I've had enough of that in the past.
Again?
I think I can edit all this out. I'm not 100% sure if I can or not. We'll see. All right.
It's the smoothest episode we've had to date.
What are you saying?
I'm proud of us, Austin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Aussie Boys. This is your host, Austin, and a co-host, Russ. How you doing today, Russ? Welcome back to the Aussie Boys.
I'm great, mate. I'm glad to be here. You know what I'd like to say to you?
No, I don't know what you'd like to say to me.
Austin, it's a wonderful thing. I'm glad you're my mate. You know what? I love you. I love our intro music. I'm glad I got to hear it this episode. Oh, man. It's beautiful. It always gets me jazzed up, you know, dancing in a good spirit.
Me too, mate.
So, you know, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad the audience is here. How have you been, Austin?
Well, I've been doing pretty good. I can't complain. I finally got my fence fixed. I've started working on the boat there, mate.
Oh, yeah?
You know, I was telling you a long time ago that I was going to start building the boat and the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
So I've nearly got the trailer done, and I've started working on the boat now.
What happened to your fence? Let's rewind a bit, and I'll tell everybody what's going on with your fence. Why are you having to fix your fence? Did a tree fall on it?
Just a fence around the top of the well. You know, we talked about how it was...
Oh, right. Yeah, we talked about that.
Just finished last time, and I added some extra little bits around the top. I've decorated it a bit. I've got a nice stain on it. I decided to give it a nice walnut stain, and it's looking quite nice. It's a little dark color on the fence there, and I even decided that I was going to put a little tile around the top of the well on the inside of the fence so that when you get up close to the well, it's a little more homey. I've even decided that I might build a little fire pit out there.
Yeah, so you're gonna have hot water on hand.
How have you been there, Russ? How's everything going with you?
I've been good, you know. The farm is booming. I've got 32% more kangaroos than I had last time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's some excellent math.
It's abundance of foot out here, mate.
So you had 37 last time. 37 plus...
Yeah, 37. Now I've got 48. That's 32% more, I'm pretty sure. Mathematically, that's correct.
Wow, that's some excellent maths you've done there, mate.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a math wizard.
Oh, yeah, you didn't know a lot of things about me, I'm sure.
Well, I learn more about you every day, and I always appreciate it when I do. Appreciate all the things that I learn about you. So did Marvin come back in the Roomobile?
Oh, yeah, he's back, and he brought himself 2 new sidekicks. There's a raccoon and an ostrich.
You don't say, a raccoon. Did it come all the way from America? Or does somebody have a raccoon as a pet here in Australia?
I don't know where Marvin found the raccoon, but he likes to build things out of stuff he finds in the trash.
The raccoon does?
Yeah, he has a sizable rocket launcher.
Wow.
I think Marvin has brought him on board to build the gadgets for him, you know, kind of like Q for James Bond it is.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Raccoons come around to build stuff for his crime fighter.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what he brought the ostrich on board. I don't know what that guy's going to do to help him out.
Well, they're very fast runners. Maybe when he's driving the rocket Roomobile, the ostrich can run alongside it.
Huh, that thing's pretty fast. I don't think an ostrich can keep up with the rocket Roomobile, mate.
Well, no, I mean, not unless he's gonna attach some small little rockets to the sides of the ostrich. Is he made a rocket backpack for the ostrich?
I don't know what's going on out there in their workshop. They've somehow built a cave. There's a computer in there. I think we'll talk about that in a minute, but there's a lot happening for Marvin. I'm proud of...
Well, I mean, you know, we can talk about whatever you like to.
The mayor gave him the key to the city for bringing the crime rates down.
Wow.
Things are good over here, mate.
That's impressive. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah.
So you have to give Marvin a pat on the back from me and tell him how proud I am.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He knows you're proud of him. You know, I think you inspired him to help others.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How did I inspire him?
Well, he came to your rescue, mate, when you was trapped at the bottom of that well.
It's true. I'm forever in debt.
He got the bug. He likes to help everybody. He's out there fighting crime, rescuing folks, you know?
Well, after all that training you put him through for the jumping contest, and after he's learned to do his kung fu, I'm not surprised. So, is he wearing any kind of super outfit when he's going out and he's crime fighting? Has he got a mask on so no one can recognize?
He's got a mask, and he's got a cape. And it's some sort of utility belt. I guess the raccoon has made him a utility belt. And there's a gas gun that shoots a grappling hook.
No kidding.
Very Batman inspired, I think.
He's gone full Bat-roo.
Yeah.
Is that what he's calling himself?
He's just calling himself Marvin.
Oh, I see.
He's not real good at secret identities here.
I'm not sure Bat-roo really has a good ring to it.
No, I don't. That's it. I'm glad you're not on his marketing team.
Perhaps he could be Roo-Bat.
Roo-Bat?
Well, I don't know, mate. Maybe, Marsupi... Batsupial? Batsupial? That's got a nice sound, too.
Batsupial?
Batsupial?
Too long. Help me, Batsupial! Help me! Thank you, Batsupial, for coming to my rescue.
Is that an impression of his most recent civilian casualty? That's not the right word.
I hope he's not killing people.
Well, you never know.
He's a crime fighter.
Oh, he's a bit dangerous in that Roomobile. I mean, the way he was just...
Well, it's true, but he's an excellent driver.
Is he teaching any of the other Roos how to crime fight?
I don't think so. The other Roos, they don't seem very interested in saving the world, you know. They just like eating whatever they're eating and hopping around out there.
Yeah. They're not nearly as impressive. I mean, he must be a rather unique Roo. I think he's got some...
He's cream of the crop, you know.
Yes, he's definitely cream of the crop. Did you have some sort of radioactivity there on the farm? Do you think that's what happened to him? Was he somehow irradiated and then he became a super Roo? Or...
Well, I mean, like I said, I believe that coming to your rescue inspired him to help others. Get out there and make a difference in the world, right?
I know. He was just like a regular Roo.
I don't understand where he's getting the money for all the gadgets he's making. I don't know who's funding him. Or maybe there's a GoFundMe? I don't know.
Oh, I see. Well, maybe the mayor's chucked in a bit for him, you know, if he's got the key to the city and everything like that.
Well, yeah, he probably did give him a check with that key. You know, I've been all over the city, and I can't find what that key fits.
Oh, no, mate. I think you've got it all wrong. No, no.
It's pretty big. It's like 3 feet big. It's a huge key.
The key to the city's, it's not like there's a big door that lets you into the city or a big door that lets you into the mayor's house or anything like that. No, no. It's a figurative key.
So it doesn't do anything.
Something setting off your dingoes, mate.
Who knows? Those dingoes, they do what they do. Do mate. We're just going to have to ignore them.
Well, I suppose we can, but it's not that great for the recording, you know. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, because things are going cracker right now, mate.
I mean, it's been going great. What are you talking about?
It's best episode yet.
Well, you know, keep your pants on. They'll stop here in a minute, I'm sure.
Can we play a commercial for the audience? Because everyone knows that's what they tune in for. Keep up with Marvin's escapades. But I think we've covered that enough. We don't want to give out the location of the Rue Cave.
I just wanted to make sure that you were clear on the, you know, you don't want to run around the city trying out that key in a bunch of folks' doors.
Well, you know, I've only been sticking them in the locks that look big enough to hold a cow. I mean, like I said, it's 3 feet long and about a foot and a half tall.
Yeah, those are normally...
There's only one lock that I found and it didn't really work for that thing. I don't know why there was a door there.
I haven't really seen doors that big. Have you seen doors that big around?
Just the one.
Oh.
And it was in the side of a wall. And it, apparently, I have not got the key for that.
Which wall was it?
Well, it's more of a cliff than a wall. So I think it was probably a secret door that I shouldn't have found, and I didn't have the right key for.
Maybe that's the key of the Batsupial Cave.
Maybe that's it.
Well, just something food for thought.
Is that what our first commercial is?
No, mate, not food for thought. Let me get to commercials, yes. 1 second here.
Yeah, thank you all. It's about time, sir.
You caught me off guard. Let's see. Okay, so this one I picked out especially for you.
All right.
Let's see if you can hear this now. Did you get up and walk away?
No.
He's still there? So I'm going to play the commercial, and then we're going to go on and act like we didn't have all these difficulties.
All right.
Now we will take a break for some advertisements. Please support our sponsors.
Better than beer?
Can it be?
Try Carling's Red Cap Ale and see. We brew fine beer as well as ale, but we brew Carling's Red Cap Ale. Folks say it's all good beer can be. Plus a little bit more.
You'll see.
Better than beer?
Can it be?
Try Carling's Red Cap Ale and see.
At Carling's, we brew both beer and ale, and each is mighty popular. But here's what more and more people tell us about Carling's Red Cap Ale. They say Carling's is quite unlike all other ales, and it gives them more pleasure than any beer or ale they ever tasted. They say it's light and hearty, so they call it lighthearted.
Carling's ale is light and dry as the smoothest beer ever.
But Carling's Red Cap has extra flavor, the heart only a fine ale can give you.
Try it yourself. Decide for yourself.
Better than beer?
Can it be?
Try Carling's Red Cap Ale and see.
Try it tonight.
Just imagine this could be your advertisement. Please reach us at liongoatpodcast@gmail.com to provide sponsorship. And now, back to the show.
So, what'd you think about that? You think that's better than beer?
You know what? That sounds like a pretty good beverage to be sipping on it. And I'm glad that that commercial was played without any technical difficulties at all. I am grateful that we have finally worked out our... So I'm glad it's working and going smoothly for us. And I would actually like to have a Red Cap ale. I think... Have you ever had an ale?
Yes.
I like an ale. It's a great beverage. Red Cap ale. Nice and light.
You know, I don't often think of ales as light. I've never had a light ale. I've never had a Red Cap ale, but I have had red ales. I've had nut brown ales. I've had Indian pale ales. I guess an Indian pale ale is like a light ale because it's light in color, but it's not necessarily light in taste. I like a extra bitter.
I guess that's the only kind.
Yeah, I like ales.
Yeah.
In general, I like ales quite a lot. Sometimes I like ales better than beer.
I see. You like that better than beer, do you?
Well, there are some pilsners out there that I like quite a lot. There's some lagers out there that I like a lot. I mean, I like all kinds of beer. I often think of ale as a kind of beer, but I guess it's not really a kind of beer, is it?
Apparently not, because Carling's also makes beer.
That's true.
As well as ale.
That's true.
So there's a difference, apparently.
This commercial is mistaken. All ales are types of beers, but not all beers are ales. Beer is a broad category of alcoholic beverages that includes ales, lagers, pilsners, stouts, and wheat beers. Beer is typically made from malted barley and flavored with hops. The differences in type reflect distinct flavor characteristics caused by the ingredients, duration of roasting, and fermentation processes. Lagers are fermented using bottom fermenting yeast at cooler temperatures. Ales, which include pale, brown, red, porter, Belgian, and sun ales, are brewed with top fermenting yeast at warmer temperatures. Modern ales tend to have a more complex and fruity flavor profile compared to other beers. They are often darker and or richer in taste.
Now, I've had a Callings Bee.
Oh, have you?
A Callings Bee is pretty good. Yeah, I just haven't had that Red Cap. Have you had the Red Cap?
I have not had the Red Cap. I'll tell you what, if you can find us a case, a bottle or two of that Red Cap Carlson Ale, you just send it over to the studios, and that'd be great. We appreciate that. We like it when our listeners send us stuff. Remember the flute that Patricia sent us last week? Did you see the flute?
She sent you a flute, mate.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's a nice little wooden flute. We've never talked about flutes on the show before. But it's nice to receive gifts from our listeners, regardless if it pertains to any of the subject matter of the episode.
You'll have to remind me, mate. Who's this Patricia?
I don't know. A listener, apparently.
Oh, she's a listener?
I guess. Look, it's, yeah.
You said she sent it from the studio?
No, to the studio. Right. See, look. Here, let me get the packaging. See, where's the note?
I always appreciate the Foley, mate. You do such a great job with the Foley work.
Thank you, sir. I do my best. Let's see, right here's the letter that came with the flute. Dear Russ and Austin, love the show. Thanks for being a good time. And here's a flute. So I don't really know why she didn't send us a flute.
Well, that's great, mate.
It appears to be carved out of pine.
Have you learned to play any songs?
No. No, I haven't.
You haven't learned to play any songs?
I don't know how to play the flute. I'm trying to learn Three Blind Mice because it appears to be the easiest.
Yeah, I think it's just three notes.
Yeah.
Like the number of mice. You just have to think about the number of mice that they are. And you probably only even have to use two fingers.
It's pretty easy to play, or so I hear.
The first note, you just play without any fingers. And then you put another finger on and then another finger on.
I didn't know you were such a flutologist. Austin, I'm glad to learn these things about you.
No, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's good.
The only flute I can play is the top of a beer bottle.
The only flute you can play is the balonophone.
No, I've never played the balonophone.
The balonophone? You know how to play that. I've heard the stories around the pub.
What's a balonophone? I'm not sure I understand what you're talking about.
Never mind. It doesn't matter.
I'll have to do some research on that. Perhaps the Podbot can explain what a balonophone is. I'm not sure.
I hope the Podbot can help us out with that one, Austin. I'm sure. That Podbot's pretty knowledgeable in all subjects matters.
Well, you know, he's got the power of the wiki.
He does.
The term balognathone does not refer to any recognized musical instrument or widely recognized or established term or standard concept. It appears to be a non-standard or possibly fictional term that may be used informally or humorously to describe something unrelated to music or meat, with no specific meaning in any known context or field of study. If there is a specific context or reference you are referring to, please provide more information for a more accurate response.
So yeah, I thought that commercial had a nice jingle to it. I like that little jingle. It was bouncy. I've been trying to find the bouncy jingles. You know, it's not quite as good as Shinola. I don't think we found one to beat that yet.
Oh, no. Shinola was the best jingle we've had on the show. I mean, I've gotten a few letters here about that particular episode, that particular jingle. They loved it. The audience did.
You got some more letters, mate.
Yeah, I've got lots of letters over here, I'm sure.
Well, I wish they'd send some letters to me. Maybe they'll send me letters next time.
Maybe they will.
But I'm glad they're sending them somewhere. I mean, at least we got some listeners.
We do. There's at least Patricia, and there's a whole stack. Oh, wait. These are all seem to come from Patricia.
Oh, really? There's another one from Patricia.
Here's somebody called Joyce Lannis.
Oh, wait. What does Joyce say?
Bond's a good time. And it's a heart drawn on the picture.
Ah, lady, a few words.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that you're getting all the mail since you've got the pretty face of the show.
That's true. I did notice until just this moment that all these letters are from Sheila's. Is it Samantha? a Tabitha.
Well, that's great. Maybe they're trying to get caught up in your paddock. Maybe they heard about those nice treats that you leave out there, and they just thought to themselves, maybe if I write a letter, he'll give me directions.
Maybe they will.
That's what I encourage you to do. Respond with a map, mate.
Respond with a map.
Make a little...
Just a map, that's it.
Yeah, like a little treasure map that points to the paddock door. And just send that back to them.
Oh, I see. That's an excellent idea. Let's see. Let's see if I can find their return addresses. That's something we'll do later when I'm done here.
Now, you did take down all the flypaper, right? We don't want to have another...
I took down all the flypaper. I've barely escaped prosecution for that one, sir.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's make sure that that's all gone before you draw the map to the paddock. We don't want any more accidents happening there. So have you got another one there from Patricia?
Oh, this one is addressed to you.
Oh, there's one addressed to me.
Right. Hey, Austin, it's Patricia. I'm so glad that you took that master class. And it's paying off greatly. Your show has never had less technical difficulties ever. I love you and Russ, but you more.
What? You, wow.
Why'd she send me the flute?
Well, thanks then. That's a bonza letter. I appreciate that. It makes me feel great. Now, I've often said that that class was just a ripper class. I mean, they taught me everything. They taught me about how to direct the sound and how to route the sound, how to mix the sound, how to record the sound, and how to make sure that there's absolutely zero technical difficulties when presenting sound on the internet and making a podcast.
That's great, man. You got a lot of bang for your buck out of that $25 class you took. I didn't realize it was so educational. I mean, there's a lot of knowledge that they get.
No, mate, it was just a fiver.
Oh, it was just a fiver?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a hell of a deal. Bonds are bang for your buck.
That's what I thought. You didn't seem to have that opinion of it the last time we talked about it, but I'm glad that you're finally seeing the light. All right, well, shall we listen to another commercial then?
Most certainly, sir.
All right.
Let's hear another perfectly executed commercial, sir.
I'm beginning to think the audience might notice a bit of sarcasm, but I could be wrong about this one.
Now we will take a break for some advertisements. Please support our sponsors.
You, in and out of doors every day. Think how much dust and dirt settle on your skin. And makeup clings to your skin, too, and clogs pores. That's why your face needs a thorough cleansing each day. And that's why cleansing tests were made by an independent testing laboratory. This same kind of dirt was made just radioactive enough to register on a Geiger counter. Leading cleansing creams, complexion soaps, and Dorothy Gray Salon Cold Cream were used to remove this dirt. The Geiger counter proved that Dorothy Gray Salon Cold Cream cleanses up to 2.5 times more thoroughly than any soap or other cleansing cream tested. When you cleanse with Dorothy Gray Salon Cold Cream, you know you remove dirt. And more important, you remove every trace of makeup which can clog your pores. That's why Salon Cold Cream is especially recommended for a young complexion. A clean skin is a healthy skin, and your skin will look smoother and clearer when you use Dorothy Gray Salon Cold Cream. It's so quick and easy, too. Takes no more time than improper cleansing. For particulars of this Geiger counter story, write for this test booklet to Dorothy Gray Limited, Box 18, Grand Central Station, New York City.
Just imagine this could be your advertisement. Please reach us at liongoatpodcast@gmail.com to provide sponsorship. And now, back to the show.
You know, the thing about Darcy Gray's cold cream is I think that's the particular brand that Marvin the Crime Fighting Marsupial uses to remove the black paint he paints on his face to hide his little eyes, you know, and it always gets that right off.
No kidding.
The cold cream, I want to say something very important here, folks. The cold cream itself is not radioactive, okay? I don't want you to, that's not the takeaway here. They radioactivated some dirt, which I'm pretty sure that's mostly harmless, right?
Dear God, no!
So that they could prove that the radioactivity left the face with the dirt from using Marcy's cold cream.
I'm not so sure about that, mate. I'm not so sure about that, because that was back in the times when they had all those ladies who would paint the radioactive paint onto the inside of watch faces and things like that. They hadn't quite got the grasp on the fact that the nuclear radiation caused cancer and all sorts of liver troubles.
Well, Darcy's cold cream removes the radioactivity as well as the dirt. That's important to take away.
You think that old Dorothy Gray had thought that out before they tried out the radium? And
oh, I'm pretty sure she's the one that found it, you know. She's like, oh my God, there's radioactivity everywhere in this dirt. We've got to come up with a cold cream to get it off of the lady's face and hands. We don't want them getting sick from radioactivity from painting watch faces.
Well, but maybe that's why she came up with it. Maybe she was one of those radioactive watch painters or something like that, and she thought, we need a way to get this radioactivity off of our makeup and off of our faces, and we'll just put that right there in the cold cream. What do you think she put in the cold cream to attract all those radioactive substances there?
I don't know. I don't even know what's in cold cream, so what are the ingredients in cold cream?
Oh, that's a very good question. I'm not sure what's in the cold cream. I imagine it's just like some sort of petroleum distillate, like a lotion or something like that. We could probably look that up and see what's inside of it.
All right.
So you say that Marvin uses the Dorothy Gray when he gets back from his crime fighting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. He's got a mask that covers his eyes, and he darkens around because black is the color of the mask, the black eyes, you know.
All right, right, because he's trying to hide his identity because he's such a famous roux.
Right,
that,
right.
He doesn't want everybody coming over to the Batsupial cave. And
no, you don't want people knowing where that is because, you know, they'll steal your stuff.
Right, and especially if he's got the raccoon in there making all sorts of fancy rocketry and that sort of thing. It says here that cold cream is an emulsion of water in certain fits, usually included beeswax and various scent agents designed to smooth skin and remove makeup. So it's mainly just a water and oil emulsion. That's a hard word to say.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to say emulsion. Perhaps I'm saying that correctly.
Emulsion.
Unlike the oil and water emulsion of a vanishing cream, so called because it seems to disappear when applied to the skin, the name cold cream derives from the cooling feeling that the cream leaves on the skin.
Mm-hmm. So apparently beeswax removes radioactivity or water.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the Dorothy Gray. She probably put some sort of other substance in there because, well, you know, now that I think about it,
it's probably a trade secret. We shouldn't divulge that information, put Darcy Gray right out of business. We don't want to do that.
Has there been a Marvel character of Bee that was Bee-Man that was created from a radioactive reaction?
The Swarm.
A Bee-Man? I don't... A radioactive bee?
Well, you know, most of the Marvel comic book characters, if you think about it, there's Spider-Man.
Uh-huh, radioactive.
There's the Hulk. He's radioactive.
Uh-huh, radioactive.
There's, let's see. I'm sure there's lots of others that are radioactive. It seems like that was a very common thing. Those are the only two I'm thinking about right now.
First hike? How does it make you feel?
Fine.
Perhaps. What about the Wasp? Was he radioactive?
I think the Wasp was a she, sir.
Was the Sheila radioactive?
Some sort of PIM particles. I don't think PIM particles are exactly radioactive, but I'm not a Scientologist.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking. But then again, I mean, you seem to know a bit about how the Dorothy Gray is good at removing the radioactive stuff. So I thought maybe that's what they've got in the cold cream. Maybe
well, they said so in the commercial. That's really what I was going by. It was the commercial itself. They were like, hey, radioactive dirt off your face with this cold cream. And I was like, hey.
Well, yeah, it seemed like that's what they were saying. But, you know, they didn't ever show the Geiger counter after the cold cream application and removal. They just showed the radioactive dirt on her face. They didn't show if it came off or not.
Well, that's true.
Now, that Sheila in that commercial was rather attractive.
I didn't actually see a video play or anything. I just was...
Oh, did the video not work?
No, I didn't see it play. I just heard the audio and I...
Oh, mate. My bad.
I don't know anything about all that, so I don't know what that Sheila looked like. She sounded fabulously sweet. Look at her eyes. Wait, I see the... Okay, yeah. No, there's something wrong with that girl. Look at her eyes.
Yeah, I think it's the radioactive dirt that's made her look that way, mate.
Is it show her after?
Now she's applying the cold cream. She's wearing that nice sheer outfit. It's a strange way she's applied it to her neck there. I'm not sure what that's all about.
Well, radioactive dirt can get everywhere, so you gotta get on your neck.
Well, it looks like she's got quite a bit on the bottom of her chin there.
Mm-hmm. She was going straight to that D-zone. Did you see that? Right here, where your nose and your forehead. That's called your T-zone, Austin, in case you didn't notice.
Well, stay right there. There's where you can send it in. Dorothy Gray, LTD, Box 18, Grand Central Station, New York City. So apparently if you write them at that address, they'll tell you more about how that removes the radioactivity from your skin.
Well, let's drop those folks a line and see if we can get that. In the next episode, we'll discuss it if it arrives in time.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds good. We'll drop them a line.
The audience is dying to know exactly how that works.
I encourage the listeners out there, please drop them a line as well. And feel free to send us in emails. You don't have to just send paper letters, though we do like to receive those paper letters. That's very kind of you. Any sorts of musical instruments? I've got a guitar that I play, so, you know, I might like a new slide or something like that. If you feel like sending one over to the Lion Goat Podcast Studios, that'd be great. I'm not exactly sure how you got Ross's address, but I'm glad you've got one of our addresses. I think it's because he's the more famous one. He was always famous before me on the show. But yeah, so it's made of an emulsion of water and certain fats. Do you know what sorts of fats they might put in there?
Probably lard.
Ah, you think?
Yeah, lard's a fat.
Maybe olives. Almonds, I mean. Almonds or olive oil?
Almonds or olives? Bacon? It could be bacon fat for all I know, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably give that face cream an intoxicating smell if you used bacon. You'd be like, ooh, this smells delicious.
Says here that later on they applied small quantities of borax to the beeswax. Apparently the borax saponifies the fatty acids in the beeswax and allows it to make a more stable cream.
Didn't the borax cut down all the trees?
No, mate, it's not that kind of axe.
In that Dr. Seuss book.
Not like a boar that's got an axe attached to it. No, a borax is like a cleaning agent. It's like a powder.
So it wasn't the thing in that Dr. Seuss book that cut down all the trees. The borax is not what we're talking about.
No, here. No, mate, that's the Lorax. The Lorax. It starts with an L, like a llama.
Oh, okay, all right. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for the correction. Yeah. I was incorrect, sir. Appreciate that.
And here's a nice poem that's written about cold cream. Would you like to hear a poem written about cold cream?
Certainly.
All right. This poem was written in 1814.
Okay.
It was credited to a man named Dr. Russell. And he was trying to talk about the benefits of cold cream. And he says, when a pot of cold cream to Eliza you send, you with words to this purpose you present commend. Whoever with this cream shall her countenance spear, all redness and roughness will strike disappear, and the skin, to a wonder, be charmingly clear. If pimples arise, this will take them away. If the smallpox should mock you, those marks will decay. If wrinkled through age or bad doll being the face is, 'twill be smooth in a trice as the best Venice glass is. All this and much more, could I spare time to write it? Or my pen go as fast as your lips would indict it. You are firm of your cream, and I would not abuse it. But pray tell me one thing. Do you self use it?
I can't really say if Elijah uses cold cream or not. I mean, obviously she got a pot of it, a rather large pot, I'm assuming. In those days, in the 1800s, apparently, you just sent large vats of cream to ladies. And as far as Dr. Russell, I hope he's a better doctor than he is a poet. I don't feel... I mean, it rhymed, but... It wasn't very captivating. There wasn't very great imagery in there, you know. I mean,
I didn't really think that was that great.
I don't think anybody should be writing poetry about pimples. I don't think that's a good subject matter.
Well, I guess if you're talking about cold cream, that's an appropriate subject. But I was mostly impressed by the fact that he's claiming that it'll take away your smallpox scars. I was thinking that would be a thing you'd have for life. I'm not so sure he's being quite honest about that, but maybe Dr. Russell was a type of man who was trying to sell the cream rather than just being swept up with the poetry of how well the cream worked. I'm not exactly sure why he would have written a poem about cold cream otherwise, but I thought it was kind of rude for him to call somebody's face a bad daubing.
Yeah, I hope this is not the poem he sent with the pot of cold cream to Eliza, because that's certainly not going to get you laid, mate. That's not the way to go.
No, he would have got along better if he just sent something like roses are red, violets are blue. What should I say?
Roses are red, violets are blue. Let's get naked and do the do. That's right.
I'll take you to bed on Monday or Tuesday. Is that...
That works for me. That's better poetry than Dr. Russell's throwing around there, sir. So keep up the good work, Austin. It's a penny dropper you're writing.
Well, I've never claimed to be a good poet there, mate, but...
You're dropping panties with those lines, sir.
All right, let's take out another commercial here. Here's one for the Dangos.
Now we will take a break for some advertisements. Please support our sponsors.
News for dogs since cats. New Gaines dog biscuits.
Get Gaines dog biscuits, Gaines, we say, and give your best friend a new treat. Six flavors, six colors, and six playful shapes. They're the doggonest fun to eat. Any dog who's tried them will tell you that they're the best news for dogs since cats.
Yes, here's all the variety dogs beg for, all the nourishment dogs need, and all in one package. There are six nutritious flavors in all. Meat, milk, chicken, cheese, vegetable, and liver. Perfect as a snack or treat, they're great for regular feeding, too. Yes, and you'll find the same wealth of nourishment, the same flavorful variety in Gaines Dog Biscuit Bits. They're extra easy to moisten or mix, perfect for a hearty main feeding. So hitch your dog's wagon to these wonderful new Gaines Dog Biscuits and Biscuit Bits. Get Gaines for your dog right away.
Just imagine this could be your advertisement. Please reach us at liongoatpodcast@gmail.com to provide sponsorship. And now, back to the show.
That's a happy-looking dash hound indeed, sir. I bet Gaines is pretty good quality. I don't know. Maybe if we order some of those, we can give them to the Dangos and we'll let you know how they turn out.
It seems like that'd be great. You don't use the Gaines?
I mean, honestly, that's a bold claim for a dog biscuit. To be the best thing since cats for dogs.
I didn't quite understand that.
Did you see the video there, mate? That cat punched that dog square in the mouth, mate.
It seemed like that cat was rather rude to the dog. It just boxed him right in the nose.
Yeah, I don't think it's great. You know, I could be wrong.
I wouldn't think that the dogs would actually appreciate the cats very much. That's why I don't know if they picked the best slogan there. Maybe what they meant was the best thing for dogs since how bad the cats are.
Probably, sir. I mean, that treat looked a whole lot better than a slap in the face. That's all I'm going to say.
A treat that'll take your dog's mind off the cats. Perhaps that's what they should have said. It did look like it had all kinds of nice good stuff in it. Eggs and veggies and all poultry and all sorts of things, didn't it?
Liver. It had liver and cheese. I like
that. Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, I'm not so sure. I've never really seen a dog running around chasing a cow out in the wild trying to suckle from its little nipples to get the milk for the cheese. I've never seen that in the wild. I'm not sure if that's what canines do. Or carnivores, is that what they are? Yeah, the dingoes are carnivores, right?
Yeah.
I suppose milk is like a carnivorous food, even though it's dairy. I guess dairy is actually like a animal product, so I guess that is something that a meat eater would enjoy. I certainly enjoy cheese.
What's your favorite flavor of cheese, sir?
Well, it's not the Gaines dog biscuits, that's for sure.
You haven't had one of those cheese-flavored dog biscuits from Gaines?
It might be good. No, I've never had one. You know what I remember from Gaines as a kid? Were those Gaines burgers.
Burgers?
Yeah, do you ever have those? It was like a dog treat that looked like a ground beef in a way, but it was a little moist dog treat that you took it out of the package and you'd crumble it like this in your fingers and it'd go right into the dog's bowl and the dingoes would go crazy over that stuff.
I think you make it up.
Sounds like your dingo's getting excited just hearing me talking about him.
I guess he would like to try some of that burger from Gaines, but I don't know. I don't recall that particular dog treat.
You don't remember the Gaines burgers?
No, I don't remember that. Let's see if you can find that.
Let's see if I can find something about the Gaines burgers. To remind you, so you've never tried the Gaines dog biscuits?
Mm-mm.
With your dingoes?
No, we do kibble in bits over here for these dingoes.
Yeah, see, it looks like they've changed the design a bit. Doesn't quite look like this now. Back in my memory, it wasn't like that at all. They've changed the design of the Gaines burgers. Apparently, they've brought them back.
It doesn't really look like a burger. Looks more like a cookie.
The thing I'm thinking of look more like this. Sort of look like raw beef,
yeah,
in a way, but it was not really the right color. It was more like a red brick sort of color.
I think I'm experiencing a Mandela effect, Austin.
What?
And a Mandela effect, you know, one of those things that is a misremembering of public history from the human race.
No, mate, this is not a sand medallion.
I have never heard of that.
But you're seeing a picture of it here, there, mate.
I have never seen that in my life, sir. I've never heard of Gaines Burgers dog treat.
Well, it used to be at the grocery store. I mean,
you're full of shit.
No, we had Gaines Burgers. They were great.
No, never heard of that.
The dingoes loved them. I think we even gave some to the Wallabies. The Wallabies liked them too.
Never heard of it.
Which I was surprised of, because normally they're fairly vegetarian, but they liked them. Well, yeah, I just thought that was a pretty good commercial. It had a nice little jingle to it and had the little animation of the cat and the dog fighting. So
he Mike Tyson that dog.
I'm not so sure. He didn't treat him like Mike Tyson treated Michael Spinks, but he did sure give him a whack on the nose.
Boogalaka.
I thought I'd give it a barrel. You know, I could be wrong about that.
Well, it's all right.
Ah, mate, I think I've run out of steam.
Right. Well, I mean, I can see why. It was a smooth-going, disruption-free episode. The audience is going to be grateful to have that. Patricia's proud of you. Despite everything that went perfect, I'm glad it happened that way, sir. Thank you for joining me here. I thank the audience for tuning in and listening. I'm glad we got together and flawlessly execute another episode of the Aussie Boys podcast live from the Outback.
I mean, are you saying I wasn't even here for the episode?
Shut up. Pretty much, sir. I know.
I mean, I've just tried, sir. I've been trying, mate. It's been a bit difficult. We're not going to talk about that right now. We can talk about that after we start the recording. We don't want to let the audience in on that. But it's been difficult. So if I'm a little lack of energy, at least don't pretend like I wasn't even here.
Your spirit was low today despite the captivating jingle that boosts our morale every time we hear it. Play that music, Austin, and let's get out of here. All right? Thank you for being here.
In the last episode, you mentioned that I would have an intermission prepared. I didn't quite know what to do for the intermission.
We don't need to use an intermission right now, but in the future, at some point, we'll throw one in.
Maybe the intermission could be the bit where we had some technical difficulties or something.
It doesn't have to be a staple or anything, Austin.
But you made a promise, mate. I mean, I want to keep your promise to the listeners.
Well, that's mighty noble of you, sir. You got to keep your promises, I suppose. So just throw that intermission in.
What should we include in the intermission?
Intermission is just like some music playing so people can go get snacks and beverages.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you just like me to throw a nice little song
in. A musical
in there.
Interlude that's like...
All right.
Intermission.
Wait, sing that again so I can get a nice clean copy of that?
Intermission. Go get your snacks.
That's rather nice. Have you been working on your voice?
I have been. I'm taking a couple of correspondence courses.
Oh, really? So they like send you a letter that says, open your mouth, sit up straight, take a deep breath, and let it rip? Is that what that sort of stuff it says in there?
That's the kind of thing it says. Especially the sitting up straight, you got to have a straight spine and a open airway to produce quality voice work.
Well, that sounds wonderful, mate. That'll help out with your podcasting skills as well, it sounds like.
I thought so too. You know, you inspired me, Austin, to improve my game, you know, with that course you took and that flawless execution since you've taken the course.
You'll have to come down to Stanky Stays and sing with us.
Oh, definitely.
When we got the blues train going.
Dev, that'd be great.
Oh, mate, that would be fantastic. Oh, I'd love to see you again.
I like a good blues tune, you know?
Yeah. Have you got any blues lyrics?
Not on me right now, sir. I'm too jazzed up with positivity.
Perhaps we could turn that poem about the cold cream into a blues song, you think?
We probably could.
It could be like, when you're feeling irradiated, then you've got the cancer. If people's arise, this will take them away. If the smallpox should mock you, those marks will decay. If wrinkled through age or bad daubing the face is, just use the cold cream and it'll take it away.
Intermission, 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 intermission. Go get your snacks.
Something like that?
Yeah, we could do something like that. Call it the cold cream blues.
I mean, I'm not the best melodist. I'm better at the guitar, honestly.
Yeah, you're a better guitar player than you are a singer or writer or podcast producer.
Wait, what are you saying?
I said you're the greatest podcast producer ever.
Well, I've been doing pretty good at the podcast so far. I've got you at least 2 followers. Well, if Patricia says she loves me more, I don't blame her, but...
She does? I mean, I don't blame her either. You're a lovable guy. You're great. You're perfect. Just the way you are.
What was the other lady's name? Was it Joanne?
Joyce? Was it Joyce?
Joyce. Joyce, yes. Sorry, Joyce. Thank you for listening. We're proud to have you.
Thank you all for listening. We're glad you joined us. We thank you for the letters and inspirational words, the hearts and the kisses, the hugs and the flute.
Please send us some more letters.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you, Austin, for being here. This is where we're going to do the outro.
Oh, wait. You know what, mate?
What's that?
Before you say your goodbyes, I finally dug it up. I remembered our slogan for the end.
Okay.
Do you remember what it was?
No.
All right. We talked a lot about a lot of stuff, but what it boiled down to, we decided it was going to be Yabba at you next time.
Yabba at you next time. You heard it right here.
Yeah, is that ringing a bell?
That does. That rings a bell. We're going to yabba at you next time, Austin.
All right, let's do it. Oh, mate, you know what we forgot? We forgot the clacker at the beginning of the episode.
That's all right. I've lost the clacker.
You lost?
No, I didn't lose it. I know right where it is. It's just not within reach.
Oh, right. Did Marvin take it over to the Batsupial Cave?
Well, they're working on a commercial.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a crime-fighting commercial? They advertise the crime-fighting business?
Well, no, just that, you know, when you're in trouble, call Marvin the Marsupial or something. I don't know why he needs a commercial, because he's usually out patrolling the streets late nights, so he catches the crime in action, you know, right there in the moment. The police is who you call after the crime.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the vigilante crime fighter, such as Marvin, they're out there looking for it. Unlike the police who are at the donut shop Dunkin' Donuts and coffees.
Right, right.
So you can call those guys to clean that up after. But Marvin's on the hunt, you know.
Well, I guess I feel a bit safer, you know, if I see some sort of bloke out in the outback there wearing his cape and a mask and some dark makeup underneath his mask, and he's sort of in a interesting posture, and he seems to have really large back limbs, I won't be scared. Now I'll know it's probably just Marvin the Batsupial out there, the Kung Fu Rockaroo.
Yeah, that's right. There's no need to fear Marvin the Marsupial. He is here to save the day.
Well, I forgot to ask you this earlier. Since the raccoon already sort of has a natural mask, does the raccoon not need to wear a mask with his cape? Does he just wear a cape?
I don't know. I think he's just there to build gadgets.
Oh, right. So he's not out on the prowl? I mean, raccoons are really...
Well, I don't think that they go out together. I think the ostrich goes with them more than the raccoon.
Oh, well, raccoons are usually pretty good at prowling about.
He's kind of support, you know.
Yeah.
He runs the comms and the techs, you know. I think they're putting together a good team over there.
Now, does the ostrich have a mask?
I don't know what the ostrich wears.
Wow, okay, well.
I haven't seen the ostrich but the one time, and he just looked like a regular ostrich at the time. I don't even know the ostrich's name.
Right.
Or the raccoons, for that matter. Marvin is being very secretive with these guys.
Well, I suppose when you're the head of a crime-fighting ring, you've got to keep some secrets.
I guess that's true, especially when your benefactor is a podcast host who talks about the crime fighting you do. So I don't want to ruin their lives.
Oh, right, right. He doesn't want to blow his cover.
Right. Because I've probably said too much. Gas gun, utility belt, cape, the rocket roommobile, you know. We're probably getting them in trouble. I don't want to bring criminals.
Well, that's your roommobile. I mean, well, it's your business if you want to talk about it.
That's right. I did design the roommobile.
I mean, you had the roommobile before you had Marvin.
Well, no. I've had Marvin for a while.
Well, no, I guess it's not exactly true. You sort of built the roommobile after you got Marvin because you needed to be able to let him come around in the roommobile with you.
That's right. But anyway...
Anyways, we got off topic here. We were ending the show. So I guess we should just say our catchphrase here. We don't have the clacker to line it up, but we're going to try to say it at the same time without clapping and without a clacker. So bear with us, folks, if it's not exactly in sync this time. But on the count of three, we'll just say thank you for being here on the Aussie Boys. It's been wonderful to have you here. Thank you, Russ, for being such a great and patient co-host. I appreciate your patience. You've been extremely patient this episode. We won't tell the listeners why, but you have been, and I just want them to know, if you ever have a bloke, your best mate is a mate like Russ, he'll be extremely patient. That's what I'll say. But on the count of three, one, two... Yeah, bet you next
yeah,
time.
Yeah, bet you next time.
No, mate, together. Let's try it together. Okay, one.
All right, try it again. Are we going on three or after three? Because you didn't say three that time. You just said two. You didn't even get to three.
All right. Okay, I was thinking the three was...
Do you know that three comes after two?
Well, yes. I was doing like they do in the professional studios.
Is it one, two, then go?
See, in the professional studios, you say five, four, three... two, and then you don't say the one, you just hold up the finger and you don't say the one, you just take a beat.
Oh, I didn't see your fingers.
Because you don't want the one to be cut in accidentally in the audio there, so I was just leaving out the three.
All right, that's the information I didn't have.
But you notice there was a beat.
All right, let's try it again.
All right, here we go. Three, two,
yeah, bet you next time. That was perfect. Was perfect.
All right. Well done, mate.
Yeah, about you next time, folks. We're glad to be here. Glad you came. Thank you, Austin. Thank you, Marvin the Marsupial. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Samantha. Tabitha, we love you. Thank you, all our listeners. We love you. It's great to have you. Good to be here.
Wait, there was a Samantha and a Tabitha. You didn't tell me about those.
Oh, I didn't read their letters.
We'll read those next time, then.
Next time.
Yeah, about you later.
Yeah, about you next time. Later.
Later.
We would love to receive your feedback, your improvisation suggestions, your questions for advice, and your musical compositions for response. Please email us or send us a voicemail Our address is liongoatpodcast@gmail.com. Find, like, review, subscribe, and contact us on Facebook, Instagram, Patreon, Spotify, TikTok, YouTube, and X at Lion Goat Podcast, all one word, Lion Goat Podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast on your podcast player. We are available on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and anchor.fm/liongoatpodcast. Please tell all your friends, enemies, and any strangers to listen to our podcast. This will help us bring joy to everyone. Text-to-speech services were provided by freetts.com and readloud.net. Various audio clip content, used for the purposes of satire, were located on youtube.com and the Internet Archive. Additional sound effects were provided by freesound.org. Other original music for today's show was composed, performed, and recorded by the excellent musicians at Hairline Productions. Today's show was edited, produced, and recorded by the world's greatest sound designers and engineers at Hairline Productions. Please like their content on SoundCloud/Hairline Productions.